Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news. And stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news first, the headlines. Indonesian military chief calls for strength through differences. Indonesian President Joko Widodo believes three special economic zones can drive equitable development. Visiting the Kemiri district, Jayapura, President Joko Widodo highlights the needs of relocation and dam construction. And now the news in detail. In a meeting with East Java's religious and public figures, Indonesian military commander Air Marshal Hadi Cahyanto reminded the public to turn differences into a collective strength. As quoted by Tempo.co, Hadi, in a written statement on Monday, explained that this is the reason why the nation's founders named Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, or Unity in Diversity, as Indonesian motto. Hadi argues that human resources development in the framework of maximizing its natural resources can only be achieved if every Indonesian in the country is united. He made that clear by stating the fact that Indonesia consists of hundreds of ethnic groups, local languages, cultures, and religions. He also said that Indonesia is now in a quiet, regrettable era where tolerance has stepped back, harmony has slowly diminished, and the unity is under threat. The three special economic zones operational in the Indonesia's eastern region are aimed at realizing equitable development. President Joko Widodo, while inaugurating the Bitung Economic Special Zones, Maloy and Morotai, the flats at the Samratulangi Airport on Monday, said that this is for ensuring equitable development in the eastern region, in North Maluku and North Sulawesi. The special economic zones are also targeted to bring an investments into the country. The head of state affirmed that the expansion of Morotai Airport's runway aimed at supporting investment. The president expected that the Bitung Manado toll road, whose construction work has reached 80% completion, will support the efforts to facilitate investment in the Bitung economic zones. The presence of the special economic zones has led to development of the domestic processing industry, including the areas of fishery, plantation, and also tourism. Indonesian President Joko Widodo directly observed the condition of areas affected by flash floods in Jayapura, Papua. The visit was conducted at Kemiri Primary School building, one of the buildings affected by flash floods. During the visit, the president was accompanied by First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo, Minister of Public Works and Public Housing Basuki Hadi Mulyono, and Head of National Disaster Management Agency BNPB Doni Monardo. President Joko Widodo highlighted the importance of efforts in relocating and building dam. The relocation was carried out on residents' housing complex, which have been severely affected by the flash floods and located in flash flood prone areas, while the dam construction is to prevent flash flood that harms the people.
Ya, ini kan harus direlokasi.
When seeing the conditions directly, we can see areas that have to be relocated and must be built dams and dikes so that other areas do not need to be relocated. Earlier, it has been discussed by the Minister of Public Works, the Regent, and the Governor. The Minister of Public Works has guaranteed to relocate the area. The flash flood in Sentani has caused material and immaterial loss. Until now, there have been more than 4.7 thousand people, or more than 3 or more than 960 heads of family forced to evacuate to 21 refugee camps. The refugees are victims not only from the flash floods, but also from the overflow of Lake Sentani. This news comes to you over Area Rural Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Bitung Special Economic Zone in North Sulawesi Province is eyeing to attract investment primarily in pharmaceutical, coconut, and fish processing industries. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution, prior to bearing witness to the inauguration of 3SEZ in eastern Indonesia in Manado, North Sulawesi on Monday, said that the pharmaceutical sector is part of the targets. This is since several pharmaceutical industries have expressed keenness. The minister believes that the Bitung Special Economic Zone is aimed at drawing the pharmaceutical, coconut, and fishing processing industries, whereas the other two special economic zones have set their sights on other industrial sectors, including energy and tourism. The Morotai Special Economic Zone is looking to draw the attention of investors in the fish processing and tourism industries, partially to tap into its rich historical heritage of the World War II and innate beauty in addition to its proximity to Papua. The tourist industry in West Nusa Tenggara, home to popular tourism destination Lombok, has yet to recover following a strong earthquake in July 2018 that devastated infrastructure in the fast-growing province for tourism. The West Nusa Tenggara chapter of Statistics Indonesia, BPSNTB, said the occupancy rate of star-rated hotels in the province declined to 32.63% in February from 32.84% in January. As quoted by JakartaPost.com, the province's statistic agency Head Suntono on Monday said that West Nusa Tenggara province tourism has not shown any progress, adding that in February 2018, the occupancy rate of star-rated hotels was 40.60%, meaning the figure declined 7.97% year-on-year. The average length of stay in the hotel also declined to 2.16 days in February from 3.16 days in January. The Indonesian government has won the arbitration lawsuit lodged by the Indian Metal and Alloys Limited, IMFA. The ruling was announced after a series of legal proceedings that lasted since August 2018 in Den Haag, the Netherlands. The International Arbitration Court rejected the IMFA's claims and ordered it to return costs incurred during the arbitration proceedings to the Indonesian government, which amounted to $2.97 million. As quoted by Tempo.co, Attorney General M. Prasetyo in Jakarta on Monday said that this success has been achieved through a long way. By that, Indonesia has saved state funds to $469 million, or around 6.68 trillion rupiah. He also said that the arbitrator assembly accepted Indonesia's refusal to the temporal objection, which basically stated that overlapping and territorial boundary issues had occurred long before the Indian Metal and Alloys Limited IMFA entered as an investor in Indonesia. Therefore, Indonesia as the host could not be charged for the investor's negligence. And the last item, the Central Bureau of Statistics BPS data indicated a growth of 6.12% in the number of foreign tourist arrivals in Indonesia in February 2019, reaching 1.27 million compared to February 2018. As quoted by Antara News Agency, the Bureau's Chief Suharyanto on Monday stated that during the January-February 2019 period, more than 2 million foreign tourists had arrived in the country compared to the same period in 2018. In February 2019, Malaysian tourist arrivals had reached that in February 2018, China stood second with 200.9 thousand tourists, as compared to that during the corresponding period last year, while Singapore was placed third. Of the total foreign tourist arrivals, most of the visitors arrived in Indonesia aboard flights, as well as by ships and by means of land transportation. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian military commander calls for strength through differences. Indonesian President Joko Widodo believes three special economic zones to drive equitable development. Visiting the Kemiri District, Jayapura, President Joko Widodo highlights the need of relocation and dam construction. And listener, that's the news.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our good program, Commentary. But the topic of today's commentary is commemoration of World Autism Awareness Day. Well, listener, since 2008, every April 2nd, the world has commemorated the World Autism Awareness Day. This year, the commemoration is themed Assistive Technologies Active Participation. In connection with the commemoration, the United Nations, UN, urged the world community to ensure the participation of people with autism in the bid to realize the Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs. In its official website, the UN says that for many people on the autism spectrum, access to inexpensive assistive technology is prerequisite for being able to use their human rights and participate fully in society. Thus, this contributes to the realization of SDGs. The existing technology can reduce or eliminate barrier to their participation on the basis of equality with others. The Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities requires countries participating in the convention to promote the availability and use of assistive technology at affordable cost. They must also facilitate access to existing technology by promoting technology research and development. While technology continues to grow, there are still major obstacles to the use of the existing technology, including high costs, lack of availability, lack of awareness of their potential, and lack of training in its use. Data from the United Nations shows that in some developing countries, more than 50% of people with disabilities who need assistive device cannot receive it. In Indonesia in 2015, according to the Compass Daily, there was 1 in 250 children with autism, and there were approximately 12,800 children with autism and 134,000 people overall. Unfortunately, in Indonesia, there is no accurate data regarding the increase in children with autism every year. However, handling autism in Indonesia is the same as other countries. Currently, there has been a lot of information circulating regarding the handling of autism in Indonesia, such as the opening of various therapy centers, the formation of various foundations that can care about handling children with autism. And there are some seminars from home and abroad that discuss autism. Handling that was once considered impossible finally can be applied to children who have symptoms of autism from early age. Despite the fact, fewer parties are able to implement it with the right method, especially in Indonesia. This is the importance of an initiative and the role of government in regulating services related to autism, both in the form of physical facilities and laws. Thus, all people with autism get the rights to cope with. So Indonesia can finally carry out his commitments in the Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs, especially related to people with disabilities, namely leaving no one behind. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in history, we'll begin with April the 2nd, 1967. International Children's Book Day is set. The International Children's Book Day was established in 1967 by a non-profit international organization board on books for young people based in Switzerland. The date was chosen to coincide with the birthday of Hans Christian Andersen, the world's leading children's book writer. International Children's Book Day is celebrated with various activities such as writing competition and award presentation. Turning to April the 2nd, 1982, the Argentine army occupied the Malvinas. On April the 2nd, 1982, Argentine troops occupied Falkland Islands, better known as the Malvinas Island in the southern eastern region of the country. Malvinas Islands were discovered in 1832 by the British and became one of the British colonies. Argentina itself always claims that the Malvinas are part of the country's territory. For this reason, it invaded Malvinas Island in 1982. This Argentine action was not accepted by Britain. The British Royal Army was then sent to the area and there was a battle between the two. The sophistication of the British military finally brought it to victory and drove the Argentine army out of the Malvinas. Although Argentina has lost militarily, the Buenos Aires are still carrying out diplomatic steps to claim the islands. I'll end with April the 2nd, 2007, commemoration of World Autism Awareness Day. The World Autism Awareness Day has been established by the United Nations since 2007. The commemoration today is a moment to foster awareness and commitment of the world community in supporting people with autism and against discrimination against them. World Autism Awareness Day has been held every year since September the 9th, 1989. Today's determination is based on the UN General Assembly Resolution number 62139, World Autism Awareness Day, which was established on December the 18th, 2007, based on the proposal of the Qatar State Representative and supported by all member countries. Well, that was Today in History. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih from Indonesia to the World.
Aku ingat.
That was the first song entitled Bila Ku Ingat, sung by Titi DJ. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Today's edition, we will give information on My Indonesia with the topic, The Importance of Maintaining Regional Architecture Posture in the Region.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The topic of today's My Indonesia is the importance of maintaining regional architecture posture in the region. The United States of America, USA, is a strategy partner that always supports the unity and centrality of ASEAN. It is very important to maintain the regional architectural posture in the region, including in the process of developing the ASEAN Indo-Pacific concept that is transparent and inclusive for mutual progress. This was stated by Director General of ASEAN Cooperation of the Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs, Jose Tavares, at the 32nd meeting of the ASEAN-US dialogue held in Washington, D.C., USA on March 27 until 28, 2019. As quoted from kemlu.go.id, Jose Tavares explained that the position of the U.S. should be appreciated by Indonesia and powered with concrete cooperation when the concept of the ASEAN-Indo-Pacific is realized in 2019. In regard to this, Chairman of the U.S. delegation, Patrick Murphy, welcomed Indonesia's statement and said that his side would continue to play an active role in various ASEAN mechanisms such as the East Asia Summit and the ASEAN Regional Forum and fully support the ASEAN Indo-Pacific concept. He said that the U.S. also appreciated the holding of the high-level dialogue, HLD, on Indo-Pacific cooperation in Jakarta on March 20th. 2019. According to Patrick, the high-level dialogue succeeded in confirming many similarities in principles and elements of Indo-Pacific concept promoted by the U.S. and ASEAN. Meanwhile, Yoset also said that the issues of terrorism and extreme acts of violence were also one of the headlines of the meeting. According to Yoset, there are threats of terrorism and extreme violence that still occurred. The recent tragic humanitarian actions in Christchurch, New Zealand, and Utrecht in the Netherlands and inside Indonesia show that in various communities there are still embryos of extremism that must be prevented. To overcome this, all relevant parties must strengthen international cooperation. In this connection, the meeting agreed to strengthen collaboration in the field of capacity building and information sharing on intelligence of security forces. In addition, Indonesia also underlined the strategic role of youth as a peace ambassador who spread the values of peace and non-violence. The 32nd ASEAN-US dialogue is the annual high-level official meeting between ASEAN and the US. The meeting was chaired jointly by the United States and Laos as the country coordinator of ASEAN-US collaboration and was attended by delegates from ASEAN countries and United States as well as the ASEAN Secretariat. The meeting also discussed various matters of mutual interest in various regional and international issues as well as the development and future direction of ASEAN-US cooperation, including in the maritime field, cybersecurity, terrorism, trade and investment, disaster mitigation, education, youth and women. ASEAN-US cooperation began in 1972. The United States officially became an ASEAN speech partner in 1977, and currently it has been at the level of strategy partner since 2015. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Kenangan tentang cara. aku mudah berikan hatiku padamu. Takkan habis sejuta lagu untuk menceritakan cantikmu. Kan teramat panjang puisi untuk menyuratkan cinta ini. Telah habis sudah cinta ini, tak lagi tersisa untuk dunia. Karena telah ku habiskan sisa cintaku hanya untukmu. Aku pernah berpikir tentang hidupku tanpa ada dirimu. Dapatkah lebih indah dari yang ku jalani sampai kini? Aku selalu bermimpi tentang indah hari tua bersamamu. Tetap cantik rambut panjangmu, meskipun nanti tak hitam lagi. Bila habis sudah waktu ini, tak lagi berpijak pada dunia. Telah aku habiskan sisa hidupku hanya untukmu. Dan telah habis sudah cinta ini, tak lagi tersisa untuk dunia. Karena telah ku habiskan sisa cintaku hanya untukmu. Hidup dan matiku bila musim berganti sampai waktu terhenti.
That was the second song entitled Surat Cinta Untuk Starla, sung by Virgin. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder with tales about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, today I would like to take you to visit a historical object called Sambisari Temple. There are various attractive tourism destinations that you can explore when you visit Yogyakarta, particularly historical objects. Yogyakarta has plenty of temples which you can visit to enhance your insight about Indonesian history. One of the temples is Sambisari Temple. Among other temples in Yogyakarta, Sambisari Temple looks pretty unique because it is located 5 to 6 meters lower than the ground level. Sambisari Temple is located in Sambisari Purwomartani, Kalasan Sub-District, Sleman. The location of the temple is not really far from Yogyakarta, which has a distance of 12 km and approximately takes 30 minutes. Visitors must pay for the entrance ticket to explore the temple. Sambisari Temple belongs to the Sufism sect of Hindu, the worshipper of Shiva, god of destruction. The temple was approximately built in the 9th century by Rakai Garung. The temple was accidentally found by a farmer who was hoeing his rice field. Based on a research, in 1966, a temple was buried with sand and stones resulted from the eruption of Mount Merapi in 1906. The restoration of the temple finished in 1987. Currently, the land surrounding the temple has been excavated and managed. Listener, when you want to head to Sambisari Temple, you have to pass dozens of stairways which are craftily organized. The temple is located underground. Sambisari Temple consists of main temple and three sub-temples. Don't forget to capture your moments when you visit the temple. The best time to visit the object is at morning or evening. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder featuring Sambisari Temple from Yogyakarta. Thank you for listening.
Sekarang
You have just listened to the third song entitled Asal Kau Bahagia, sung by Armada. For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabulary and expression, and we invite you to speak in Indonesia. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. This Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Overseas Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development and Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is memperkenalkan orang lain, or introducing others. Next, I will give an example of a conversation on memperkenalkan orang lain, which means introducing others. Tony, Joko, kenalkan, ini Nina, pemandu wisata di sini. Nina, ini Joko, teman saya. Joko, halo, saya Joko, pemandu wisata Nina. After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely memperkenalkan orang lain. Memperkenalkan orang lain, which means introducing others. I will say the words two times and you can repeat after me. Pemandu wisata. Pemandu wisata, which means tour guide. Kenalkan, ini Nina, pemandu wisata di sini. Kenalkan, ini Nina, pemandu wisata di sini. Let me introduce. This is Nina, the tour guide here. Ini Joko, teman saya. Ini Joko, teman saya. This is Joko, my friend. Teman saya. Teman saya. My friend. To introduce others, you can say simply, Joko, kenalkan, ini Nina. Joko, kenalkan, ini Nina, which means, Joko, let me introduce, this is Nina. Nina, ini Joko. Nina, ini Joko, which means, Nina, this is Joko. Another example, Joko, kenalkan, ini Nina, pemandu wisata di sini. Joko, kenalkan, ini Nina, pemandu wisata di sini. Which means, Joko, let me introduce, this is Nina, the tour guide here. Nina, ini Joko, teman saya. Nina, ini Joko, teman saya. Which means, Nina, this is Joko, my friend. Next, the person who is introduced, he will usually say his name again while shaking hands. Example, kenalkan, ini Heru. Heru, ini Sinta. Kenalkan, ini Heru. Heru, ini Sinta. Which means, let me introduce, this is Heru. Heru, this is Sinta. Saya Heru. Saya Heru, which means, I'm Heru. Saya Sinta. Saya Sinta, which means, I'm Sinta. Before ending, let's speak Bahasa Indonesia or Mari Berbahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the example of the conversation once more. Joko, kenalkan, ini Nina, pemandu wisata di sini. Nina, ini Joko, teman saya. Halo, saya Joko. Nina. That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Biarlah.
That was Hasrat Cinta, sung by Yana Julio. You still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, we would like to present a song entitled Naik Sampan or Riding a Canoe, sung by Asmidar Darwis. The song Naik Sampan, composed by Asmidar Darwis, tells about the feeling of happiness when riding a canoe. The music of the song sounds cheerful and it has fast tempo. The song Naik Sampan is one of the songs in the album Special Lagu-Lagu Melayu or Special Album of Melis Songs. Asmidar is one of the singers whose music is influenced by Middle Eastern music, namely gambus. The singer, who comes from West Sumatra, was very popular in 1970s. Well, listener, here is the song entitled Naik Sampan, sung by Asmidar Darwis.
Naik sampan si naik sampan, sampannya laju terus ke pulau. Naik sampan si naik sampan, bikin gembira hati yang risau. Hari menaik sampan, sampan di dayung amboi ke semenanjung. Janganlah lena, jangan termenung, mari mendayung.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. And also send your email to voi@voinews.id.